Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for May 21st, 2017. Koyo Kubosa here. So very, very glad you joined us. A very auspicious morning at Bright Dawn Center here. It's our lay minister induction weekend. Our program is at almost 2 years every Sunday. The class meets in a small group conference call, and they hand in their written reports and assigned readings, and they discuss them and so forth. And they go through the curriculum, and then and they call from all parts of the country, sometimes from the world. And then when they finish the program, they come in person, and they meet for the first time here at Bright Dawn. And we call it an induction ceremony. We have a training workshop on Saturday and then the induction ceremony where they are inducted officially as the Bright Dawn Lay Ministers. And they're all here this weekend. Yesterday was a training session. Today will be the induction ceremony at 10 a.m. local time, followed by luncheon. And so they're having breakfast right now, 8 o'clock here in California. The atmosphere is abuzz, and it's a very special time to match faces with a match voices with a face. Culmination of their studies. Commencement is also a beginning. I mean, to commence means a beginning, but that's a beautiful word. It's graduation time, and yet it's also beginning time. Kind of a sense of accomplishment and a sense of excitement for the future. It's a tremendous time, and in the terms of our Bright Dawn Play Ministry program, well, it's a very gratifying, you know, there's no tuition, there's a lot of heavy sweat equity, and they really bond as a, maybe the group is like four to six people, and so they get become very close and support each other. It's a tremendous thing, and I have to feel grateful to myself because it's through my interactions with them throughout the program that I deepen my own spiritual growth in ways that I would have never experienced without participating with these young, creative, sincere seekers. Tremendous for me. And let me segue into our guest to give us a Dharma glimpse today. I see from the switchboard that he is standing by, and he was a lay minister in the LM8 group. We call it LM for lay ministry, and last year was the eighth group to go through. At any given time, there's two groups that are going on because it's a two-year program, and they start every autumn. And LM9's induction, and we have LM10 going on that they're halfway through. And so LM8, last year's. And this is Clarence Genyo. They get a Dharma name. And he lives in Florida. He was part of the LMA group. So, good morning, Clarence Sensei. You're on.
Well, good morning. I hope everybody can hear me okay. And good morning, yes. Koyo Sensei. And good morning to everyone out there listening. Thank you for tuning in to Live Dharma Sunday. And as Koyo Sensei said, this is a induction weekend for LM9. So before I even start off, I just want to say congratulations to all of you in LM9. I know it's kind of hard to believe it's been an entire year since I was out there for my induction with LM8. It was just a wonderful time that I had, able to meet my fellow classmates and the Cabosses and their family, and it was just a great time of learning and just a great celebration, meeting new friends, meeting other lay ministers who were able to make the trip out, and it was just a wonderful time. I know you guys in LM9 are thoroughly enjoying it, and if it's even remotely like what I experienced last year, is just an absolutely wonderful time that you're going to cherish for the rest of your lives. One of the great things about the LM program is not just learning all the, you know, the facts and ideas behind Buddhist teaching and doctrine and, you know, all the book learning, so to speak. Is the program is really great at teaching you how to look at all these things, these philosophical things, and apply it to your direct experience of your day-to-day life. And that's something I wanted to talk about this morning. Something that I've been dealing with for a little while, that my studies in the LM program and in Buddhism in general have helped me learn how to cope with, and hoping me talking about this will encourage others or help others when they go through difficult times in life. Because, you know, 6 weeks or 6 months ago this week, I lost my job. And in 6 months, I haven't found another one. And I've noticed lots of people who've periods of prolonged unemployment. There's usually a lot of doubt and depression and all kinds of negative things that come up. It hasn't really affected me very much because of all the things I learned with the LM program and how to take the teachings of Buddhism and apply it to my everyday life to, in this case, reduce or, you know, amount of personal suffering I experience. Now, it is the longest period of time I have been out of a job in the last 30 years. And it caused me to think about some things. We tend to derive a good bit of our sense of self and our sense of self-importance in the world from what we do for work, especially for us men. You know, groups of men meet each other, have a handshake, and almost the first thing comes out of their mouths is, "So what do you do for a living?" As if our identity and our who we are is tied to what we do for employment. And that can be double-edged sword. And granted, if you have the quote-unquote professional career, like a doctor, engineer, lawyer, you know, some kind of white-collar business profession or something that our culture considers high status, like you can lead you to feeling good about yourself. And if you have a job that's on the lower end of our cultural status profession, something like a, you know, construction laborer or working in a fast food industry or a janitor, that can cause someone to feel kind of bad about themselves. One of the things that the Dharma taught me is that I am not my job. I am not what I do for a living. I mean, I remember the days when someone with, you know, the proverbial lower status job, and I looked people who had the what I would consider good jobs with a kind of a sense of envy. I remember that time feeling if I had one of those jobs, my life would just be so much better. I would finally be somebody and all my other problems would just go away. So in my late 20s, I decided to go back to college and I graduated in my early 30s. And by my mid-30s, I finally had the beginnings of the white-collar professional career that I just thought was going to make all my problems, solve all my problems, and make me somebody. And I had a little bit of good success in the beginnings. But over the last 5 years, I've been through essentially three layoffs. kind of arrogance about having the good jobs kind of went away. And I realized something, that I was no better off than I was with the great job than I was with the less great job. I was still the same person. I still had the same problems, and I still had the same issues and things I didn't deal with well. And you know, nothing went away, other than the fact of having an office and fancy business cards and a bigger paycheck. Nothing had changed. So one of the first things I had to realize, again, I'm not my job. All the things I have been through in my working life, spanning from, you know, higher status, great jobs, and lower status jobs, has been a great teaching in impermanence, one of the core tenets of the Buddhist way of looking at things. Simply put, impermanence says that everything is in a constant state of flux, and the circumstances you find yourself in aren't permanent. And that goes for the bad ones as well as the good ones. But nothing at all in this world is in a fixed, permanent state. It's not really as pessimistic as it sounds on the first glance. In fact, when I came to really realize that, and a lot of I found the Buddhist teachings are, go for it, they put things directly in front of you. I don't know if there's anyone out there in the world who would really, you know, who would say that, yes, everything changes. But that's just kind of a flippant answer. Just, you know, Buddhism causes, puts certain things in front of you and causes you to really, really deeply think about them. And the idea of impermanence is a very liberating idea, because we very frequently look to things that are outside of ourselves to try and verify our sense of self-worth. Having the quote-unquote right job or the right relationship, for holding on to the things that we own that we really enjoy and just don't want to give up. There seems to be a tendency in us human beings that we want to believe that we are somehow owed whatever our idea of a perfect world is. So when our lives and the world around us doesn't match up to the vision in our head of what we think should be, we get angry, bitter, or depressed. If your sense of self is tied to your working life, that can cause all kinds of problems. If you're living in society's somewhat artificial definition of success, you can become arrogant and look down on others. If you don't have that high-status job, you could feel unworthy, and both are emotionally toxic. When your sense of permanent happiness rests on very impermanent and changing things, it's a recipe for constant dissatisfaction and emotional turmoil. Another thing that my extended unemployment has reinforced to me is just how important gratitude is to our emotional well-being and our emotional health. It's very easy to be grateful when times are good. When things are plugging right along close to how we think we want them to be, we take them for granted. We begin to think we're simply getting the good life that the universe owes us. But when times are rough, we fixate on the bad things like a spotlight. You know what a spotlight is? It's a tightly focused beam that illuminates on a very specific thing. You see what you're aiming the light at, but you miss seeing everything else around it. We get so caught up with what we're focused on, we neglect to appreciate all the things that we need to be grateful for. I know in my life I've been extraordinarily blessed to have a large number of very supportive, close family and friends, probably more so than what's typical for people. And that's something I'm incredibly grateful for. I can choose to only focus on the things that are tough right now, or I can make the conscious choice to think about all the things that are right. I've seen how the difficulties like extended unemployment or other bad life situations can cause terrible grief and bitterness and despair in people. And a few years ago, that was kind of my default setting. And yeah, to be honest, I still have my moments with that. But since I began my Buddhist path many years ago, those moments are fewer and fewer. And when I do start to wallow in a bit of self-pity, it doesn't last as long, nearly as long as it used to. It's because through the Dharma, I've become less entrapped into looking into outside circumstances to feed my sense of self. And I make a conscious effort to remain grateful for even the littlest things of life, and that makes an amazing difference. So when you give up on the idea of trying to force the world into what you think it should be, sometimes even mistakenly so, it's very freeing to give that up. doesn't mean you stop trying to make your life or the world around you better, but it lessens the emotional turmoil that causes you to suffer. The turmoil that very frequently spills out in how you deal with other people, which can turn cause suffering from then and so on, like a great vicious cycle. So, you are not your job. I am not my job, no matter how good a job or bad a job that is. You're not how much money you have or how much you don't have. You're not your good health or your bad health. You're not your house, your car, your possessions, or how much success you have at any number of pursuits or lack of success. Any of those things can change at any time. They're not permanent. To depend on them for your happiness is setting yourself up for suffering. To identify yourself with the lack of them is setting yourself up for suffering. Times in my life, I've had very little and felt worthless because of it, and I've had success and felt self-important because of it. Both of those ways of thinking are traps that I've found. I've learned to appreciate the good times and enjoy them, but not count on them being forever. I've learned to appreciate the hard times because that's how I can be grateful for what they have to teach me to become a better person. Good times come and they go. Sometimes they last for a while. Sometimes they're brief. So do the bad times. But I've given up pegging my sense of self-identity on either of those, and I suffer a lot less because of it. So, again, congratulations to everyone in LM9. I'm sure you're having a wonderful time, and your induction coming up here probably in a few short hours. I wish you the best of luck with your future endeavors, and always remember that you're being inducted, but as I've found over the last year, it's certainly not an ending by any means. It's very much a beginning. And there's still so much more I still have to learn and still have to grow. I wish you the best of luck with the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Very tremendous, relevant Dharma glimpse. You know, Dharma glimpse means, but it has to be alive. It has to always be a personal, reflect the personal experience of the speaker. Otherwise, it's just to talk about the Dharma. Scholarly, in other words, only. See, nothing wrong with, scholarliness. It's its own value. But we're talking about spiritual growth. Not somebody else's spiritual growth, one's own. Things are easy to say, but it's a different story, isn't it, when it's you, your life, your experience. Impermanence can roll off our tongue. But when it's, as one of the famous Buddhist priest of long ago. He's a Buddhist priest, so he knows the teachings. And he, life always intrudes. real life. We don't have to use the word real, but real life intrudes. And he lost the infant daughter. And he wrote a poem. It said, the world of do is the world of do. And yet. World of do, D-E-W, refers to the world of impermanence. Because every morning there's dew on the grass. But when the sun comes up and heats up, the dew evaporates, it's gone. That's the phenomenal world. That's impermanence, constant change. So he knows this, but he's a human being. And that's why, and yet. So we have our own self-identity status. There's a teaching here about right livelihood too. If you're fortunate enough to, no, you could be anything, but be a good one. There was a story I remember. It's in one of my father's books about bricklayers. It says, "You think bricklayers are bricklaying? You know, there's three kinds of workers." And so in the story, he interviews one bricklayer, and he says, "Oh, you know, what do you do? What are you doing?" I says, "Well, I'm making a living. This is my job." He's fine with it. He's not. That's another one. "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm a bricklayer. I'm a craftsman. I'm an artist. I do take great pride in my work." A little bit different attitude about it. And then he came to the third one, whose eyes were shining as he was working. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm building a temple." I mean, if you're lucky enough to have that kind of right livelihood, and sometimes it's not a matter of finding the right job, it's being the right kind, having the right kind of attitude about it. It doesn't matter whether you're washing windows, somebody's on a skyscraper, on a scaffold, washing windows and whistling, and says, "Man, I just feel so good. I'm making all these glasses clean." Inner attitude, unshaken by external, it's sort of like you got a gate into your mind or spirit or heart, and be careful about letting in all kind of foreign influences. Well, we say foreign gate, this is from a story in the literature, but by foreign, we mean external, not your own. And so to make the teachings your own, that's what it's all about. And to conclude, every morning we have Dialogue Dharma. Our center has been doing this for 20, 30 years now, and it's just a very short 1 to 3 minute talk given by my father and I. They're changed every morning. And this morning I put one on called Toksan's Candle. And because the topic I've just been talking about does not just apply to material, what kind of job you have for a living, but it's also your self-identity and so forth in terms of spirituality context. Teachings are out there and, they're great teachings, but they're not yours. You read about them and heard talk about them. You don't own them. In a sense, they own you. They're fragile. It's not you. It's an abstract teaching in your head. Now where some storms of life and crisis comes, they may not help you at all. They weren't in your bones. So I thought that was a very relevant message for the Prime Minister inductees. Okay, they accomplished a lot. They learned a lot about the Dharma. But if you want to hear this nice classic Buddhist story in the literature about Toksan's Candle, you could call up this Dialogue Dharma number and hear Reverend Gyomei Kubose talk about this. And so in addition to the teaching itself, you hear his physical voice. He's been gone for 17 years now, but every once in a while, I call up the number and hear my father's voice. So especially for people who knew him, to hear his voice, much different experience than reading the words on paper. But even those who didn't know him in person, you hear the voice, you see presence, you see, I recommend that. Okay. Calling Dial a Dharma. And now with cell phones, got good calling plans, you don't, it doesn't matter if it's a long distance number. Okay. 847-386-8836. And if you're on our mailing list for our newsletter, that number is always listed there in our newsletter. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a beautiful day.